Okay, welcome to October 7th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And in case you're wondering, no, I'm not a history teacher. That is, unless you happen to have a private plane and you want to fly me all over America giving you history lessons. If you want to do that, I suppose I could grin and bear it. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, take a look at TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice. And now moving on to today's headlines.
Edgar Allan Poe passes away, plus we'll wish a happy birthday to Abraham Woodhull, one of the big spies of the American Revolution, and Star Trek becomes the biggest science fiction franchise in TV history.
All right, so now let's do this. 1849. Rest in peace, Edgar Allan Poe. I know, just in time for Halloween. He was last seen on the 3rd of October by a man named Joseph Walker, who said that Poe was rambling frantically like a maniac. My words, not his. Poe died of either brain congestion, alcohol poisoning, cholera, drugs, heart disease, rabies, suicide, tuberculosis, and or sheer madness. He had a small funeral at the back of the Westminster Hall and Burying Grounds in Baltimore, but was buried in an unmarked grave at a site that, according to eapoe.org, became overgrown with weeds. The sexton, George Spence, ordered a nice stone for Poe's grave, but it was destroyed when a train derailed and ran through the yard while it was getting ready for transport. By 1875, an awareness was raised, thanks to the local Baltimore newspaper, to get a good site going to bury Poe properly. Finally, on November 17, 1875, Poe's remains were given the proper burial, and then the remains of his former wife and first cousin Virginia, as well as his aunt and mother-in-law Maria, were buried next to him, reuniting a very disturbing family dynamic. Edgar Allan Poe, one of the greatest authors in world history, is widely considered the master of macabre, has been credited with the creation of the entire horror genre. You can read his influences and words from the likes of Arthur Conan Doyle and George Bernard Shaw, to Jules Verne, and of course, Howard Phillips Lovecraft. Only a guy like Poe could earn a dedicated Poe toaster. A Poe toaster was a mysterious man who visited his grave on his birthday every year, on January 19th. He wore a long black coat, wide-brimmed black hat, and a white shirt. He came with a bottle of cognac, would sit at Poe's gravesite, read some kind of epitaph, and toast to the legendary author. He would usually leave the cognac and disappear for another year. This Poe toaster came for supposedly 75 years until 2010, when he just stopped showing up. So, for some real Halloween fun, let's see if he shows up, class. We can visit Poe's gravesite and read Annabelle Lee, or Spirits of the Grave. Bring your cognac if you want, I don't care. Probably gonna need it, especially when we head to the nearest creepy catacombs, then to Poe's house and museum, where you could see the creaky stairs and the tiny room that was the perfect space for a brilliant madman. 1750. Happy birthday, Abraham Woodhull, one of the spies in Washington's culprit ring during the American Revolution. Although he served as a judge in Suffolk County long after the war was over, his fake identity wasn't even revealed until the early 1900s. That's how good of a spy he was. Woodhull grew up third in his family with two brothers and two sisters at a wealthy estate in Setauket, New York. While his brothers were busy being straight-A students in school, Abraham was learning the layout of the land in Long Island and its waterways, which by 1778 was strictly held by the British Army and Navy. Abraham had a cousin, General Nathan Woodhull, who was captured by the British Army and died on one of the ships by sword wounds. Abraham had plenty of reasons to join the Patriot cause, and one of his sisters married Amos Underhill, and they moved to Manhattan, which the British had taken in the fall. General George Washington, meanwhile, had appointed Major Benjamin Tallmadge to begin aspiring in order to take back New York. The Tallmadge family and Woodhull family had lived as neighbors for generations in Setauket, and Benjamin and Abraham had grown up together as well. He knew Woodhull understood the layout of New York, so Woodhull's secret name would become Samuel Culper, a pseudonym for Spy Chief. The Culper Ring, just to put this in perspective, dismembered critical British plans that gave victory to General Washington, including the stopping of Benedict Arnold giving up West Point to the enemy, fooling the Haitian mercenaries into thinking that Washington would not cross the Delaware on Christmas early in the war, and fooling Lord Clinton to thinking that the American and French army would attack New York, instead leaving Lord Cornwallis all alone in Yorktown, and many other examples that surely led to pure crazy luck for General Washington. Woodhull would be sent to visit his sister, wink, wink, in Manhattan, but after a while he drew suspicion of the British army, who visited Abraham's house when he wasn't there, and tortured his elderly father. So here's an overview of how the complex ring worked. So if you're British, cover your ears. Shh. Okay, Americans, are we listening? Good. After that incident with his father, Robert Townsend instead would be the Culper spy in Manhattan and deliver information to Austin Rowe, who would take that information and send it through Queens and Suffolk to Setauket. At this point, Caleb Brewster would glance from his whale boat to Woodhull's neighbor Anna Smith, who would hang up her laundry out on the line in a code that told Brewster what the British positions were and how to proceed. Brewster would take his information in his whale boat up the Long Island Sound to Fairfield, where Tallmadge would deliver it to Washington. Yes, my friends, George Washington didn't just tell a lie. He would have others do it for him. It's one of the reasons why Americans think Bugs Bunny is so amusing. After the war, Woodhull would marry his cousin Mary Smith, and they had three children. He became a magistrate in Suffolk, while the rest of the ring would live in solidarity. He died January 23rd, 1826, age 75. Happy birthday, Abraham. 2016, Star Trek becomes the most successful sci-fi TV franchise ever. Shat accepted the award on behalf of his crew. By the way, considering all Star Trek franchises, including DVDs, TVs, books, video games, figurines, etc., $46 billion, folks. $46 billion. Nanu nanu, MFers. Oops, wrong show. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for October 7th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance, E.A. Poe fans, what's your favorite book by him? Care to read it on his gravesite at Halloween time? What about that story on Abraham Woodhull? Do you think General Washington could have won the American Revolution without him? Star Trek fans, what's your favorite episode? Actually, never mind, I don't care. So yeah, let me hear all about it. You can also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. Good luck with those. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about Don Larson, the Clinton impeachment, and Joan Rivers, so don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.